In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? Paul asks the Corinthians. And he reminds them that we Christians are living temples of God. And he is thinking of, without question, those passages in the book of Leviticus, written so many centuries before, when God told his people, "I will walk within you. I will be within you." The prophecy was that God would make us living temples of God. And Paul is asking the Corinthians, what agreement can there be between the temple of God and idols? How can we be walking and living temples of God if there are idols in the temple, idols within ourselves? Love of the things of the world first, and some effort to combine our love of the things of the world as number one in our life, along with our worship of God. It is not possible. Not possible. And there has been a conflict between the Christian faith and the fact that God made it possible for us to live at one with Him, to share His life, to live His life in the world, to be walking, living temples of God, and the world, on the other hand. The appeal of the world, the values of the world, the love of worldly things, the love of lifting ourselves up, making us feel invulnerable to the presence of death in the world. That conflict has been there from the beginning. Jesus overcame that conflict on the cross when all of the powers of the world were ranged against him and wanted to destroy him. That conflict cannot find peace within a Christian heart. Father Lev Gillet, when he is writing about the Old Testament, points out to us how God never gave an inch when it came to protecting his people from the worship of things that were evil, idols, things of the world separated from him. Oftentimes when we read the Old Testament, we feel like God could have been more merciful with the people of the Old Testament. He could have been more liberal in his treatment of them. But he was fighting for the life of his people, a godly and holy people. And that fight now is our fight. That fight now takes place within us because we are the living and breathing temples of God. Living in the kind of world that we live in, a world that has embraced essentially pagan values. Even those who claim to be Christian try to make that peace between their love of the things of the world first and the Christian faith. They reinterpret the Bible. They reinterpret the Christian faith so that it affirms their love of the things of the world. It's not the first time that it's ever happened. The call of the prophets to the people of Israel in the Old Testament was always, come out. Come out and separate yourself from them. And be the holy people of God. And we find that call again, written in the time of the last of the apostles, St. John, the evangelist who wrote the fourth gospel and also the book of Revelation. And in that book of Revelation that he wrote, there is again the call in his own time. Come out. Come out from the Babylon of this world. Separate yourselves from them and be the holy people of God. And when St. John makes that call, he is making the call not just for people to separate themselves into a small group like the Jews were, the Hebrews were in the Old Testament, the people of God, but to separate themselves inwardly as well. It's the only way it can be done. Father Lev says that we must withdraw morally inside of ourselves. It doesn't mean that we should withdraw into ourselves and not live in the world. No, we have to live in the world. We have to be the presence of Christ in the world. But when it comes to separating in our own understanding the things of God that are pure and the things of the world that are combined with purity, you know, oftentimes when we hear appeals made to us by people who are mainly concerned with the world, they will combine things that are good, things that are holy, and their message, and they will mix them together and make their appeal to us. And that way there are two appeals. There is an appeal to our Christian faith, and at the same time, there is an appeal to that in us which is at war with the Christian faith. A love of the things of the world, a love of power, a love of being more than anyone else, an appeal to pride, an appeal to our love of the things of the world before our love of God. And so it divides us within ourselves. It is up to us to make that separation within ourselves and to purify our hearts as the centers of the living temples of God that we are. There can be no peace between idols and the temple of God, St. Paul says. We believe that we are tried more sorely in a more difficult way than just about anyone else in human history. But it's not true. Today we remember St. Tikhon, Patriarch of Moscow and Enlightener of America. But we may not know very much about him. In his time, he was tried to a degree and with an intensity that we can barely imagine. He is a strong and important link to us. He's one of the saints of the Orthodox Church in America. But he is also one of the saints of the Russian people. St. Tikhon was born the first month of the last year of the American Civil War, 1865. He died in the middle of the 1920s. In 1898, he was made bishop of the Diocese of the Aleutian Islands and Alaska. But in 1900, he became an American citizen. And it wasn't for lack of love of his mother country. It was for love of the people that he had come to evangelize in America. And that same year that he became an American citizen, he also renamed his diocese, the Diocese of the Aleutians and America. He understood it as his mission in America to advance the fulfillment of St. Innocent's vision when he came to Alaska in the 1700s. And that mission was to bring the ancient Christian faith to a new land. And his conversion of the native peoples of Alaska was to that end. It wasn't to make Alaska and America Russian Orthodox. It was to take the people where they were, beginning with the native peoples of this land, and to fulfill their love of God and the experience of God that they had already had, and fulfill that experience with the Christian faith. He didn't tell them, everything that you have understood before is wrong. Abandon everything and accept this doctrine, accept this teaching on the authority of some faraway church or bishop. He took them, St. Innocent did, where they were and fulfilled their faith by showing them the ultimate reality of things, fulfilled in Christ, who made himself one with us, human beings, so that we could be like him. And they understood that. So when St. Tikhon came, at the beginning of the 20th century, that was the vision that he intended to move towards. And that's why he renamed his diocese, the Diocese of the Aleutians and America. We had great need of a bishop like St. Tikhon in those days, because it was a very difficult and turbulent time in the history of the spread of the ancient Christian faith, the coming of the ancient Christian faith to America. Christianity had come in other forms to America, of course, from the beginning of the history of the American continent. But it had come in bits and pieces, represented by the shattered fragments of an explosion in the religious experience of Europe in the Reformation. There were thousands of Christian faiths, thousands of different ways of interpreting the Bible, upon which all Western Christian faith was based since the Reformation. But the wholeness and the fullness of the Christian faith from the time of the apostles, undivided, unchanged, with all aspects still living, that had never come to this country. And now in America, a great miracle was occurring, one that probably has never been fully and completely described, because there was so much chaos in the first 20, 30 years of the 20th century when all of this was occurring. At that critical time, early in the century, St. Tikhon was suddenly taken away from America. They needed him in his native land. The Russian Revolution was about to occur, and there was a crisis in that country. So they took him back to Russia, and they made him a bishop there. And soon, he was metropolitan of Moscow, and a council was convened during the very year of the Russian Revolution. At that council, when representatives of the church from all over the country were affirming the traditional roots of the Orthodox faith, St. Tikhon was made the Patriarch of Moscow. There had not been a Patriarch of Moscow since the 18th century, since the 1700s, since around the time before the time of the American Revolution, when Peter the Great, as you may remember from high school history, wanted to change Russia, make it into a modern European and Western country. And one of the things that he did was to abolish the Patriarch of Moscow. No more leadership from within the church. He wanted to blend the church into the state so that the state had influence over the church and the church existed to support the state. He wanted people in their faith to support the nation, to erase the line, as we would understand it today, between church and state, on behalf of the state. And so since Peter the Great, there had not been a Patriarch of Moscow. But in the midst of the Russian Revolution, the members of the council had the courage to bring back the Patriarchate of Moscow. And Tikhon, the one who had been bishop here in America, became the first Patriarch of Moscow since the 18th century. That was a difficult time to be a Christian. That was a time more difficult than our own time to separate in one's own heart the love of God from the love of the things of this world, and promises were being made to appeal to the heart of the people in ways that would compromise the fact that we are the living temples of God. They tried to divide the Orthodox people of the nation. All those they knew they could not change or pervert to their own purposes, they killed. During the famine of 1922, 10,000 Orthodox Christians were shot as traitors. And in that same year, Vladimir Ilyich Lenin arrested Patriarch Tikhon. He said that Patriarch Tikhon was a saboteur, trying to sabotage the program of the nation. The conflict between St. Tikhon and Lenin, again, has probably never been fully told. St. Tikhon tried to make it possible for the church to survive in the midst of this terrible persecution. He advised his priests and bishops to separate themselves from politics, not become involved and compromised in their hearts, no matter how great the appeal seemed to be, but to put their faith in Christ, to love him first of all, and to walk and to teach and to preach as living temples of God, even in the midst of this secular chaos. When Lenin died, The government made a mausoleum for him, and they tried to make that mausoleum into something like a religious place. They tried to make it into a shrine. People were used to shrines for the saints, the incorrupt bodies of the saints. And they used their scientific technology to show that they too could have an incorrupt body. And they did that with the body of Lenin, who until recently lay in the Kremlin in that kind of preserved condition. But in 1923, there was a break in the sewage system in Moscow, and Lenin's tomb was flooded with the sewage. And St. Tikhon said, "The balm is appropriate to the relics." St. Tikhon was declared a saint by the Russian Orthodox Church outside of Russia. No time to explain who they are to those who aren't familiar with them, in 1981. And in 1989, the Russian Orthodox Church itself recognized the sainthood of St. Tikhon. And, of course, he is the saint of the Orthodox Church in America. He is among the saints in the icon that we have back there in the corner, along with St. Herman, along with St. Innocent, and along with the others. So there is a oneness in America among the Orthodox, the Russian Orthodox, the Russian Orthodox Church outside of Russia, and the Orthodox Church in America, in the person of St. Tikhon, Patriarch of Moscow and Enlightener of America. He didn't accomplish his work by railing against the government or railing against the evil. He was a threat to them because of who he was. They would have liked to have killed him, but they didn't dare, because it was known by the people who and what he was. And he was loved by the people in the midst of all of that chaos. And so they dared not take his life, even at a time when they were shooting Christians and priests and bishops randomly to try to destroy the church. In our own time, we have to fulfill the same calling that St. Paul gave to the people in the first century, when they were drawn to the things of the world, and they were drawn to the ideals of the world, and they were drawn by efforts of the politicians of their time to try to hold something out that was a combination of the Christian faith and the love of the things of the world, number one. St. Paul's advice and St. Tikhon's advice and Father Lev Gelee's advice is all the same for us today. We have to separate the things that we love in our hearts, to purify our hearts of the love of the things of the world, and not end up doing exactly what Lenin and the communists wanted to do with the Orthodox Church in the 1920s, to make our Orthodox faith into a tool of the government, into a tool of political values, or into a tool of values of this world. The love of things, the love of wealth, the love of the arrogance that we can change the world in our own image and make it perfect without God. Both the liberals and the conservatives make that kind of appeal to us, and we have to resist it. During the 1920s, those who followed St. Tikhon, those who refused to let their faith be made into a tool of the political efforts that were going on in that time, were called Tikhonites. There were lots of factions, every point along the political spectrum. But the Tikhonites, as they were called popularly, they were the ones that the government most feared. They were the ones that had to be killed. They couldn't be perverted. They couldn't be converted into some kind of love of things of this world with their faith supporting their love of the things of this world. The human heart, human passions, and what we were made to be, that doesn't change. It's the same in the Old Testament. It's the same in the first century after the coming of Christ, when St. John was writing the book of the Revelation and telling people, come out from the city of Babylon and live as purified temples of God. It was the same in the time of St. Tikhon, and it is the same today. Our faith is in Christ only. Whatever does not combine with Him and is not good, it doesn't belong in the temple of our heart. Outright persecution is more easily dealt with, in many ways, than the kind of chaos and confusion that we have today. But it is our calling, nevertheless, to repent of our love of the things of the world that we put over our love of God whenever we do something that betrays Christ. And that's why we come to confession, to confess that we have done something that is another example of our having missed the mark of keeping the temple of God clean. We can tell because we have done something that we would not have done had our hearts been clean. And so we want to purify our hearts. And we come to confession and we confess whatever it is that we have done in order to put on, again, the perfect holiness that is Christ. There is no point in our trying to become more holy ourselves as a self-improvement program. Only one is holy. Only one is good. When people came to Jesus and they said, "Good master, good teacher," he said, "Why do you call me good? Only one is good, God. God is good. If we are going to be good and we are going to be holy, we are going to be good and holy with His holiness. We move toward that holiness by the confession of our missing the mark, by turning away from our efforts to be Christ ourselves. I don't know why, I can't accomplish this," we think. And we say sometimes to the priest, "I don't know why I can't do it." Well, it's because you're not Christ. All you can do is confess your sins and put back on the robe of Christ. Put back on His holiness, His goodness. That's what God came into the world in order to make possible. He didn't come into the world in order to make it possible for us to gradually improve ourselves bit by bit until eventually we were almost as good as He. That's not what He came for. He came to make death a passageway into holiness. And when we confess our sins, it's like a little death, a death to that idol within ourselves that we would like to claim can be improved just a little more. And maybe if I come and confess this sin, it will polish the idol a little bit. And it will be gleaming the way it was in my mind when it was such a great idol for me. An image of myself as perfect. That idol has to be smashed. We cannot become perfect in that kind of way. The only way that we can preserve and purify the temple within us is by repentance from ever having venerated or fallen down before that idol of ourselves in our own mind. That's what it means to repent. That's what confession is. That's how we separate the love of God from the love of ourselves and the love of the world when we put those things first. And so let's follow the example of St. Tikhon and say along with him that we place the truth of Christ before anything else. Not our truth, not my truth, not some truth that is to be found in the world, but the truth of Christ Himself. He is truth incarnate. He is the only pure and holy truth. There are a lot of things that we can tell ourselves, well, this is true and that is true. Let's argue about it this way, that way. We'll never get anywhere that way. We have to follow St. Tikhon's way of understanding. Let us place the truth that is Christ Himself first of all and purify the temple within ourselves. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.